I am going to do something totally different right now in interest of time, but this sermon is one that's looking forward to our congregational meeting, and that's going to happen on December 3rd. So the first Sunday in December, we have our congregational meeting that day, and I'm strongly urging you to come because we have been going through with some members of council and elders and anybody really who wanted to come, doing a vision and a mission and vision process. And we're going to update you on where we have landed. They've done a lot of the heavy lifting thus far, but this needs to be a work of the congregation as well. And so we will introduce that on December 3rd, and then begin a process whereby we can get feedback from all those who feel like you may want a voice in that. Eventually, we will start operating on that. One of the reasons that I wanted to preach on it before we get there, first, is to get you to come, but secondly, to realize that basically a mission and vision process is a framework. A framework whereby we can judge where we are going and what the picture actually looks like. If you've been a photographer or a painter or any such thing, it's very important what the framing is, because it's within that framework that you are able to communicate. And the other thing that confirmed to me that this was the right time is I get emails from Brian. He leads Coach Approach Ministries. And he was talking about this in relationship to coaching, but it also applies to the church as well. Let me just read you a part of what he wrote in there. In looking at the fact that we want a framework, it says, where do I even start? Who do I talk to first? What if I sound pushy? What if I don't know what to say? That's where the power of a framework comes in. A framework is what lets you act even when you don't feel ready. It's what carries you through that internal awkwardness that always shows up between here, where you are now, and there, where you want to be. Now, sometimes our awkwardness, though, is because we're not prepared. Because we don't have a framework. We don't know if we are in bounds. But what the framework does is give us a way to evaluate. Yeah, I think those were very wise words. When the church lacks clear vision, even good ministry can feel awkward. Even right ministry can feel awkward. But when Jesus shapes our structure, ministry moves from floundering to abounding. And it may not change all that much. Basically, what the framework does is it will move us from good to guided. There are many things that this church does that is very valuable to the ministry of Christ and His church. Our church, from the time we got here, when COVID struck, we had people telling us, this is the church they can confidently come to if they need help. And that is a glorious thing. That's good. But lately, as the pastor, I felt this quiet stirring in me and the quiet question, are we helping people with direction? Are we being directional in our helping? Or are we just doing it by habit? And just because we evaluate doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. It doesn't. Can I get agreement on that? Are we all understanding that? It just means that there is, if we put it within a framework, it just means that we are going to do it in a way with that in focus. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about a cold corporate structure. But I'm also not specifically talking about this awkward floundering. You see, you get your floundering when you know you're supposed to do something and you don't know exactly what it is, but you got to do something, so you know you're almost like flopping around in the water. That's what, kind of what floundering means. You know, it's just there. Splashing. A lot of activity. A lot of splashing. looks good, but I've seen a lot of people splash in the water, and it's usually not when they're swimming. It's when they're in trouble. And I've had people in the congregation who maybe haven't said things right out loud, but also have that concern that maybe this church is floundering. Maybe we're not going anywhere. How do we get started again? How do we, instead of just survival, just surviving, how do we get to thriving? How do we go from surviving to thriving? So it's not a cold corporate structure, but a Christ-shaped structure that we seek after. What has Christ told us to do? How has he done it? Now, in this, I'll give you an illustration. I want you to think of two sailboats. You're on the shore and you're looking out on a beautiful, placid lake. One of them has the sails up and the other one doesn't. Which one's going to get somewhere? The one with the sails up, right? And isn't it interesting that the only time that there are paintings or pictures of sailboats without their sails up is when they're in the harbor? You never see paintings or pictures showing the beauty of the lake with sailboats out there with their sails down. So we don't have to worry whether we've got a sailboat or not. We just have to worry about if our sail is up or not. The interesting thing about a sailboat as compared to a boat with an engine is, with an engine, you can choose anywhere you want to go, and you'll get there. With a sail, it's powered by the wind. And that wind is the Holy Spirit. For us, if we follow the analogy, when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, then we are able to access that power. Now, one thing I will say is, if you know anything about a sailboat, you have to have a certain amount that's going in the direction you're going. Otherwise, it's going to take you a lot longer to get there, right? But you don't have to be going with the wind directly behind you. You just have to have the wind behind you. The Holy Spirit is the wind, but the structure is the sail that catches it. It has to have a mast. It has to have rigging so that it can move forward, and so do we. Structure helps us gather near the fire of God's purpose. C.S. Lewis put it this way: if you want to get warmer, you have to get closer to the fire. It's as simple as that. Now let's look at a moment when Jesus gave his disciples just that, a framework for ministry. Jesus gave his disciples the framework for ministry. Did you catch that in the reading for today? Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority. That's how this particular reading starts. First off, he sent them out together. Too many times we go out and we get a vision and we want to do something and we go out by ourselves. This is wisdom from God. Going two by two. There is not only security in two by two, but there is a synergy with the energy. Okay? It builds, and there is also a safety. There is confirmation, and as the work expands, you always need more people. Amen? Jesus calls them and then sends them out two by two. Now, let's not overlook that part as well where he puts them in community. Before sending them, he gathers them because mission begins in community, not in isolation. I'll give you an example. I thought a worship team has been excellent today. Have you?
Amen.
Thank you. It's been awesome. But what if one of them chose to sing the first song the same time that the last one is singing the last song? Oh, but music harmonizes, right? And maybe if they're, you know, really got a good ear so they can hear and ignore the other singer, they may hit a note that harmonizes once in a while. But my friends, we live in a day and an age where we can't afford just once in a while ministry. Maybe I should say that again. We live in a day and age where we can't afford once in a while ministry. Because God calls us to something greater. I don't know about you, but I don't think two songs being sung together at once would be very fulfilling for the hearer or for the singer. The thrill is when you sing together and you, even though you might have different parts, that it comes out in something so beautiful that it raises the spirits and spurs you forward and leaves you wanting more. That's the kind of ministry that you know God is in. So for us, that movement together, even though there's diversity in it, gives us that ability to move forward and celebrate. So structure isn't about control, it's about connection. But I want you to notice that as he sends them out two by two, it's not just the relational connection between them, it's about their relational connection with the people that they are going to. There's a reason that he sends them out two by two, but also tells them in this structure, don't take your money bag, don't take food, don't take the things that you think you need on a daily basis. Number one, that's going to force them into relationship. Tim Keller says this, you can't love your neighbor at arm's length. And what he means is, sometimes we have things that we do for other people, but it doesn't come from relationship. And they are good things, mind you. Sometimes we have to write a check. Sometimes we pack a box and we don't know the person who is going to get it. But we know the blessing that's packed in there, right? And so now we're blessing a stranger. Sometimes you can't help but have some things at arm's length. But it must be balanced with ministry where it's not arm's length. It is face to face. It's where you sit together across a table. It's where you know their name and you know what it is that they would ask God for if they knew God would give it to them. Do we know that? Evaluate the ministries you're involved in. Do you know their name? Do you know the desires of their heart? Do you know their status with God? Then I would challenge you to say that there's a framework where we bring them back in the picture. Because that's what God did with these people. I want you to notice they were staying in their homes. A lot of ministry happens in the homes. That's why we invite people for dinner. We love having people over for dinner. That's not for everybody, but that is one way that people become more than just a face. And we can't remember their name or know what their hearts are for. Here's the principle. Boundary structures protect us from mission drift. Because we only have a certain number of relationships that we can handle in depth. And so we need to stop and say, all right, what relationships are becoming a season that is passing, and what relationships are coming into season to bear its own fruit? Because let me tell you, if we just stick with the relationships that are passing out of season, if it's going out of season, it's going to bear very little, if no fruit. If we want fruit, we have to have new input. Does that make sense? That's why you can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Vision isn't a slogan. It keeps the church from floundering. And at worst case, foundering. You know what foundering is? It's when a ship hits the rocks. Founders. Not to sail again, in most cases. The framework does this. We have a lot of farmers in our community, don't we? Plowing straight rows. Why was that such a big thing? Why would you be so proud of that? Why couldn't you have, you know, wavy rows, this one wave this way, and that one waves that way? Because the framework, the ideal, and the goal of it brings a greater harvest, not a lesser harvest. It focuses the resources and the needs of the crops and brings in more. Finally, the Lord says to the disciples, go. Now we hear that a lot, but N.T. Wright says this, the church exists primarily for the sake of those who are still outside it. Did you hear that? The church exists primarily for the sake of those who are outside it. So Jesus gives them that calling, the connection, and the clarity. And when he does, their ministry, these awkward disciples move into power. When they come back and start telling Jesus the things that happened, he says, I know. I saw Satan fall at your ministry. Wouldn't that be nice to see Satan fall in Gazi?
Amen.
Not to come upon us, but to be have the power taken away from him in the lives of others. He gives them authority to do that. But he also gives boundaries. So Jesus gives them calling, connection, and clarity. And when he does, their ministry moves from awkward attempts to spirit-empowered impact. And this finally, very quickly, a unified purpose that abounds. They go from surviving, just going where Jesus goes, getting whatever comes in, doing some work, of course, doing ministry on a daily basis, being taught. But it goes just from surviving to thriving. They get that taste of what God has for them. Is it just me, or does anyone else here have the feeling that God wants more from Casey White Oak than what he's receiving right now? Amen. Anybody have that feeling? Oh, thank you, God. It's wonderful to love this church, and it's wonderful to want more. But we need to follow the framework that Christ has given us so that we get it. There was an illustration that went around for quite a while on Facebook. It was a picture, an aerial picture, out in the middle of water where they were building a bridge from two separate sides. And when they came together, they were about a foot off. Now, they were both working from the same blueprint. But somewhere along the line, either an instrument failed or a user of an instrument failed. And until that bridge is corrected, it's not of any use for anyone. Oh, sure, you know, it could have come up and it'd be a foot off and they could lay some planks across there and still get foot traffic and things such as that. But that's not what the bridge is built for. We need to, first off, pray that our vision is correct, that it's aligning with the blueprint that God has put out there. And then get better at using the instruments that God has given us so that we can meet up with what His purpose is for this laboratory. That's going to be the challenge of it. But the framework that I give you on December 3rd, on behalf of the elders and some other officers I'm going to be talking to present different parts of it, are things that we need to make sure are in line so that we can help God's mission in the world. Vision is our shared blueprint, and it will unite every ministry toward the same purpose. And that ministry is to glorify Christ by loving others, not from a distance, but standing firmly and confidently with them. Warren Wiersbe said this, vision is not the same as ambition, okay? If we have the ambition of making our church bigger, that's not the same as vision. He says, vision is not the same as ambition. Vision is the holy discontent that draws us toward God's preferred future. And there's your difference between just trying things and working in a vision. Vision is a discontent and wanting to move forward. Floundering is just simply activity without focus. Okay? Worship team, come on forward. Church and structure in the church is not the enemy of faith. Can you hear that again? Structure is not the enemy of faith. It allows faith to flow. It's the pathway of fruitfulness. The difference between bobbing on the waves and skipping across the top of them is where your sail is. And that's the choice that we have. It's the starting block for faith to find its footing, and it's how we move from floundering to abounding. So as we begin this season of discernment together, I ask you to pray, I ask you to come, to participate, and I ask you to give your thoughts and your insights as well. That we would not just be a church that does good things, which is good, but a church that lives God's good vision, which is excellent. Let us be excellent together.